right. Well, here we are. To dream again. To dare again. To feel enjoyment and happiness again. Or for the first time. To realize this is living. Be inspired. To see your life as an exciting journey of discovery. With your host of the Inspire Possibility Show, Mark Susnow.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining in. This is Mark Susnow. You're listening to the Inspire Possibility Show, and every week I invite different individuals who I consider cutting-edge thought leaders, people who will inspire us, people who will leave us changed, people that we'll learn from, and I'm excited about today because I have somebody who I've known about for quite some time. I was very joyous when he wanted to be on my show. And so we're doing it today, and I know it's going to be great. I've just talked to him a few minutes before we went online here. His name is Filippo Vontaggio. He's many things. Some people consider him the master of change. He's a musician. He's a thought leader. He's a coach. He's just somebody who is somebody we want to get to know. And he wrote a book called The Little Dog That Could. And I'm excited about that because I'm a dog lover, and I have a sense, though, this is more than just about dogs. And am I right, Filippo?
You, of course, are right, Mark. First of all, thank you for having me on the show. It's a pleasure to be with you.
I'm really looking forward to where we're going to go with this. And tell us about your book. Tell us about this book, The Little Dog That Could.
Well, interesting. You just said, I'm really looking forward to where we're going to go with this. And I love that you said that because one of the lessons from the book is, in some way, adopting that attitude. Now, it's not a lesson or a learning that everybody will walk away from it. Saying that everybody has their own experience, and so the book doesn't say this is the lesson. This is the story of this person's mind, particular journey with this dog, and whatever they get out of it is whatever they are able to see or what they need to see, etc. But one of my takeaways after reading the book four times to make sure all the T's were crossed and all the I's were dotted, etc., was, Filippo, what if you just enjoyed the journey? Because I was reading myself as I was agonizing through this experience, and no, it's not supposed to be that experience, and it's not supposed to happen like this. And so I love that you started the show off. I'm excited about where we're going to go with this. And if I could start my day with that phrase, I think my days would be different from here on end.
Right. And why, and I'm just curious, why can't you start your day with that phrase?
Well, first of all, I never thought of that. So thank you for helping make that connection with me. And because if I said it, I thought, now that I've said it, I thought that's, I was talking to myself.
Yes, we do it all. We're such good listeners, huh?
Well, I'm becoming a better listener.
Yeah. You know, what's so important is so often, you know, we're always talking to ourselves, and a lot of times we're talking to ourselves, and, you know, what we're hearing is something, you know, negative, like, I'm not good enough, it's not going to work out, and that positive self-talk of, hey, you know, my life's, I always like, one of my messages is, you know, life's an exciting journey of discovery, and I like to start my day wondering what the highlight of my day is going to be. And
wow.
it's just a great question to be in. And what if I threw that out to you? like, so far, what's the highlight of your day been?
Oh, you know, actually, today I've had many. And so it's interesting that you asked that, because today has been many, including being on this show with you, which I was looking forward to. But the interesting thing is lately, whether I start my day off like that or not, I have been finding the gifts in so many aspects of the day as it goes along. And it's I believe that I've come to learn that way by helping others learn that way through the life coaching and through our recalibration workshop and all of that. Since I'm constantly reminding people, it's been a reminder for myself. And so, you know, the old adage, we teach what we most need to learn.
Teach what we know. Yeah.
And
we need to learn,
so,
right? Sometimes, you know, when somebody writes a book about a certain subject, I always say to them, well, just what you did, you know, we teach what we want to learn. So what was going on with you that got you to write this book? And so what about with you? What got you to write this book about the little dog that could? Why don't you tell us the circumstances, first of all.
Okay, so
how it came to being.
I was going about my life thinking that I was on path and on track, though I wasn't happy and not satisfied. I just thought, well, this is just what I have to do in order to be quote-unquote successful or famous in my field. I was singing a lot. I had a record or two out at the time and doing promotion and meeting people. And I had actually just come from an industry type event where I'd met some celebrities and felt like I made some connection and made some headway. And I was dressed all nice. And that was what was important to me at the time. And as I was driving down the street, a little dog stepped into a four-lane road street, and I heard a voice or heard myself say, oh, don't, and wanting to somehow stop the traffic for her. And it was like my whole world all of a sudden, you know, revolved around this moment. And talk about being in the now and not being preoccupied with self. So I got present and I was right with her, this little dog, and I said, come to me. In my mind, I have to get her. She needs to come to me. And I thought, that's crazy. There could be her owner walking her somewhere around here. She obviously belongs to somebody, but no, everything stopped. And it just, the thought was, I have to get this dog. And so I got out of the car and I did eventually get the dog. And the whole thing is I see many dogs on the streets and usually with somebody. But for some reason, this dog got attention, and she's adorable. But it's not that. There was a connection that was made. So when you asked me what was going on with you, if I had to take an educated guess, I would say that on some level, I was recognizing that my life wasn't fulfilled, that whether or not I achieved those goals that I wanted or thought I wanted, I still wouldn't be happy. As a matter of fact, I might be more miserable. And I didn't have a lot of love in my life. And I was in a point where I was literally asking, praying, meditating on something's got to change. And lo and behold, change came in the form of a little furry dog, at least the catalyst for change.
Wow. And how long ago was this?
So this was about, at this point, 10 years now. And this is not a story I actually wanted to tell. This story is very revealing about me in ways that I'm not proud of anymore. I mean, it's tough. I could look back at it now and say, wow, that was a silly way to think. That was a silly way to be. But at the time, it was the way I either only knew how or my mind was set on it or whatever it was. It was my way of being. But soon after, so I had many many answers to my question. That's just the thing. That's why the subtitle of The Little Dog That Could is When the Student is Ready, the Teacher Appears, because the teacher appeared in many different forms, so to speak. I had friends who were trying to get me to see things, and I wasn't listening. And I had just met a woman, Dorothy Donahue, at the time, and she was a spiritual healer. And she said to me, I happened to call her, or I was compelled to call her to tell her I found this dog. And so she had been trying to tell me things all along, and I just kept saying, no, no. She'd say, you're more than this, you're better than this, you have abilities that, no, no. And so finally this dog came along. I called her and said, I found a dog last night. It's kind of weird, but anyway, I'm sure I'm going to find the owner, and I can't keep a dog anyway because where I live, I can't have a dog, and I live by myself, and I travel too much, and I'm too busy, and that's not fair for the dog, so it's definitely not my dog. And her response was, oh, it's definitely your dog.
Yeah. They changed our life,
and
huh?
I said, no, you don't understand. And I said, I'm too busy. But she's like, oh, no, you don't understand. She's definitely your dog. And I said, look, I'm sure we'll find the owner for her, or sure I'll find her. And if not, then I'll find her a new home. And Dorothy says, not until you learn the lesson. And I said, yeah, it's one of the most bizarre things I heard. And I hung up the phone kind of puzzled. And sure enough, day turned into weeks, weeks turned into months. And there I was with this dog. And at one point I said, what if there are lessons here for me to learn? And what would they be? And I started actually paying attention. And the first thing is paying attention to the dog's senses, what the dog was sensing, and why was it sensing, and how is it knowing, and what is it knowing? And little by little, and I chronicle this in the book, the first half of the book is all that, the connecting with not only the dog and her senses, but me and mine, in which case really becoming present, maybe more present than I'd ever been by taking in as much of this moment that I actually can.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first half.
So be present, listen, pay attention.
Pay attention, take in whatever the senses are trying to tell us, and from our sense of touch and sight and sound and all of that, which is interesting because I come from an IBM background when IBM used to be the top third company in the world. And I had training in so much of this where we would be taught by going into a room and saying, this is somebody's office, tell me about this person kind of thing. And
mm-hmm.
We at first used to say, well, we know nothing about him, so that's kind of silly. No, and it's what about the pictures they have on the wall? What are they trying to tell you? What are they telling him or her? And, look how the papers are placed. All this very, very sensory, at least in that case, it was for how you're going to get into the mind of a person and trying to sell them. So this was trying to get into my life and try and understand it, and at the very least, experience it first.
Right. So what do you think? I think about this at times. What do you think about somebody that I've always had a dog since I've been in my early 20s? What do you think about somebody that has a dog? I mean, you meet somebody and they have a dog. I mean, do you have any thoughts about it? I mean, obviously you're, I'm a dog person. But what do you meet some, what do you think about that person? You're talking about objects in their office. What about people that just have a dog in their life? What do you, anything like, is that, you think anything about that or anything come to you? Or I'm just kind of curious.
Well, I think a lot about that. I think, for the example, from this end of the experience, what happened to this person being myself, how I didn't like things touched, and I had pillows that weren't supposed to be sat on, blankets that weren't supposed to be used, you know, things. This
sounds like
just
my
for
house.
Looks and
sounds like my house. Yeah, I mean, it's just after a while, you just go, okay, well, all right. It's the way it is. It's the way it is.
Right, you know? And with friends, I was able to tell them, and they wouldn't understand, but at least they would listen and eventually no longer come around. With the dog, she wouldn't listen, but beyond not listening, I was starting to question myself because I was getting into, like, this experience has come to me for a reason. Go with it for a little bit. So the thing about the dog, it's very tricky. It's not just because somebody has a dog that they're going to experience like some of what we're going to talk about today, I think. But because one has a dog, they have the potential, more so than some people, through an animal connection. I'll give you an example of the opposite end of the spectrum. I knew somebody who was had a certain field of training and had a certain career of importance and dealt with people that he thought were important and might have been important in the world, and he had a dog, and he went about his life with this dog, and one day he came back from having left the dog in the car and went into a store or something. When he came back, the window had been broken, the dog was gone. And so when he shared this story with me, I said, what do you think happened? Well, the dog is so cute, of course, somebody stole her. And I said, oh, wow, I'm so sorry. He says, no big deal. I went straight from there to the pet shop where I'd gotten her and got another one, looks exactly like her.
Mm-hmm.
Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
You know,
I think
like
about
having
that
a doll or something.
Well, no, I mean, I think about that too, you know, because right now my daughter lives with me and we share the dog. But it's really, you know, it's her. She bought the dog. And it's the cutest little thing, and I often think about what's going to happen, you know, cuz I'm like you. It's, you get to a certain point and I'm going, I don't want to start over. My kids are grown up. I've raised four dogs, three kids, and I don't want to have the responsibility of starting over, right? Well, sure enough, one of my kids moves back home with the dog, and now I'm in love with this dog, and I'm thinking, what would happen if, you know, she leaves and takes the dog with her? Well, you know, what am I going to go get another one? And, you know, I have when because dogs don't live forever. And whenever my dog has died, I've always gotten another one. But it's not like right away. I usually, you know, wait a while because it's, you know, there's a grieving process. But I think the thing I've learned from owning dogs is that you got to give up control, right? I mean, they kind of mix it up. They kind of. This particular, a lot of dogs love to play. I mean, I find with dogs, they want to love, and they want to play. I mean, what? I mean, if we could just do that in our own all the time and the rest of our lives, those two things for me is how to love more, and how to play more, and how to laugh more, and kind of get out of ourselves. Because I don't know about you, but I kind of get into, like, dog. Do you get into dog talk? Like, go, oh, hey, come on, you want to come? Kind of learning dog talk, learning how to get out of yourself and not take yourself so seriously. And I think that's kind of, you know, I think my biggest lesson.
That.
You know,
I like that.
Lighten up. Just what you said about enjoying in the beginning, about enjoying your day more, you know. What would you want to suggest with our listeners? If I said to you, you know, what would be from this book, what would be the three things in this book that can make a difference in someone's life? What would you say they are? First of all, how do people get the book? Let's talk about that.
Oh,
how do people get up the book and get a hold of you? And
the book has a website, and it's simply thelittledogthatcould.com, which is the title of the book, thelittledogthatcould.com. But since I have a radio show as well, the Life Changers Show, that website, thelifechangershow.com, has information about the book. Of course, the book is on Amazon and on Barnes & Noble, and one just has to put in The Little Dog That Could. So there are a couple different ways of getting it, and it does come in electronic form, in the form of Kindle, which is downloadable both to PC and Macs, and then also comes as a soft copy from Barnes & Noble or Amazon. So there are a couple different ways of getting the book. A couple of bookstores are now starting to carry it, which is exciting, and potentially that could spread. I hope it does. I have a lot of respect for the people who read the book and get something out of it. I mean, I have a lot of respect for people who read books, period, and who get things out of it and who share them, because the conversations that happen with people who have either written a book, and of course a lot of respect for people that have written books, but people who have either written a book or are reading a book and they have questions about it, it opens up conversations. And this is exactly one of the intent of the book, was for a conversation to be had about this sort of thing. So on the way to answering your question, the first half in itself, one could learn, for example, that we could tell on ourselves, we could look at ourselves, and like you said, lighten up, don't take yourself so seriously, that I could look back and say, okay, some of those things I still like. I still like my bed to be clean, but you know, not every pillow in the house has to be a look-only pillow. Let's at least have some that we could all enjoy, whether it be the dog or me or my friends. We could enjoy something about pillows, and they're not just museum pieces or something. So being able to change along the way, there's another lesson there in knowing how to do it. And then connecting with our senses and connecting with how this is walk a mile in someone's moccasins analogy, but walking with the dog. So, for example, I would have a friend walk his dog, and whenever I would visit, and so we'd walk, and he'd be tugging at the dog, come on, let's go, come on. And I'd think, whose walk is this? Exactly, because if you wanted to walk, you could just leave the dog at home and walk around the block. But this walk is for the dog, at least so you say. And the dog thinks it's really important to sniff over here right now. And so that was the argument in my head before I found or rescued this dog. Of course, as soon as I rescued her, I thought, okay, you need to walk, and let's go walk. And I started doing the same thing, because that's what I saw everybody doing. And that's what I thought we did. And yes, I'm busy, so of course I'm going to do that. Until I started to connect and get conscious and say, wait a minute, she's smelling a lot more things than I can smell. And they seem to be important to her. So let's let her lead the walk. Let's see what happens. And it's a very slow walk, and we didn't get very far, but at least it was, we're having communication. It's something that she wants to do the way she wants to do it. This wasn't Filippo time. This was Chichina. This was her time. So in the first half of the book in itself, and people say, you know, you could have stopped right there. And I could have, I suppose, but I wasn't supposed to. This second half
there
the
it
book.
Is, right? You could have. The little dog that could have. Filippo could have.
The second part of the book starts with something horrible, or one can say the first half ends with something horrible. And it was so traumatic. It was something that I didn't want to share with anybody. I never wanted to share again. And when I was coerced to do it, I would break out into tears. And it was just so emotionally draining on me. Did I do the right thing? Was it the right, is everything going to be okay? And how all of the emotions that came up with things like this that do happen in people's lives and in their lives with animals. I will say the story has an extremely happy ending, and Chichina is still around and loving and being loved by many. It's the miraculous process that that I experienced that took me in a journey from exploring my five senses and thinking these are the lessons to entering into the sixth sense and potentially beyond. And so I remember calling Dorothy the next morning after an incident had happened and being in tears and sharing with her what had happened. And she said, "And this is the lesson." And I get emotional even thinking about it now. So I hung up the phone and started to listen to what Dorothy had been sharing with me all along about what this experience was about. And I didn't listen up until that point, but now it was literally life or death. And so I took all that in and said, okay, what I actually said was to the dog, "You know what you need me to do. Tell me." And from then on, it seemed like the dog and I were having communications like you and I are talking right now. I mean, not to this detail, but that I would ask specific questions of the dog and get specific answers as clear as I hear you talking to me kind of thing. It was the strangest experience, but the most miraculous and glorious experience. And what ensued was something that has changed my life forever and the reason why we're talking. So there is another lesson there people could choose to get if they choose to read on.
Well, let me do this. We're you know, whenever you're having a good time, time goes by very quickly. So we're running out of time. And but I like to, you know, because my show is called the Inspire Possibility Show, I like to ask people, what inspires you right now?
A lot. A lot. I'm inspired every day, and I try and be as inspiring as I can every day, from the adults in my life to the children in my life. I have people in my life from 1-year-old to 94 with whom I have very strong relationships, clients and followers and listeners and fans, family, friends. And so my connection to them is what I feel like I've come to do. So I'm inspired by watching them better themselves and their lives and the lives of other people, and therefore why the Life Changes Show, because we have inspiring people like you, Mark, on our show sharing about their life changes with a positive bent and how others can be inspired to do the same. So lots. And this is a really good point, Mark, and I'm so glad you asked me that, because at a time where a lot of people might be thinking that the world is going someplace in a handbasket, I'm inspired.
Me too. Yeah. Well, you know, I want to thank you for being my guest, being the guest on the Inspire Possibility Show. But I also want to thank you for you being you, for you to take the stand that you have in terms of living the life that you're living and being courageous being courageous and kind of being true to yourself in terms of just, you know, you just have to do what's real for you and to, you know, for your show and for you just being a voice of inspiration and praise and encouragement and possibility. And I think what you're doing is great, and thank you so much for being my guest.
Thank you, Mark. It's a pleasure.
And friends, until next time, journey on until our next show. And again, we're going to have somebody that is very exciting and enlightening. And until then, journey on, and we'll talk next week.
You've been listening to Inspire Possibility Show with Mark Susnow. To learn more about Mark Susnow, go to inspirepossibility.com and click on the contact button. Schedule a complimentary visit with Mark or email him at mark@inspirepossibility.com. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine.